So when is it okay for a doctor like James Holsinger to allow his personal views to guide his decisions as a government official? It's a question facing many public officials, including our current presidential candidates, and it's provoking a good deal of debate on high-stakes issues like abortion, the right to die, and stem cell research. Here to talk about that is Father Kevin Fitzpatrick. He is a geneticist at Georgetown University. He joins us in our Washington studio. And we're joined by former U.S. Surgeon General Joycelyn Elders. She's on the phone from her home in Little Rock, Arkansas. Welcome to you both. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Pleasure. Thank you.
And Father Fitzpatrick, I should say at the outset that we did reach out to Dr. Holsinger, but it's become customary for nominees for positions subject to Senate confirmation not to speak publicly in advance of their hearings. So he is adhering to that custom. So, Father Fitzpatrick, let me start with you. You are both a scientist and a priest. Can you separate your religious beliefs from your work?
Well, first of all, it's Father Fitzgerald, but that's okay.
I'm sorry.
We're Irish. Mm-hmm. But actually, what I would respond to that is to say nobody does that. And in fact, anybody who tries to compartmentalize their life in such a way, I would think, would lead to some sort of internal psychological distress. My understanding was when Dr. Elders was Surgeon General, she was very concerned with pediatric issues. I'm sure that concern was not merely because of some scientific bit of evidence, but that was deeply rooted in her own life and in her own experiences. So I think people have to bring their life values, their deep, profound beliefs, and their concerns to the work that they do. Otherwise, I don't believe they'll do a good job.
But there are circumstances in which professional ethics may permit something that your personal moral beliefs might not. I mean, abortion is one example, which is it is a practice which is legally sanctioned in the United States at this time. I know you're not a doctor, but that there are some physicians who, for reasons of personal moral conviction, would not perform this practice. And so in your field, say in the field of genetic research, is there such a conflict? How do you resolve it?
Well, I don't think, for me, that there is a conflict, because science and religion and philosophy all come at reality from a different perspective. They use different sorts of evidence. They use different ways of taking that evidence and making sense out of it. So what they all do is work together to give us a much richer sense of these sorts of understandings of reality. Now, indeed, there are legal realities, political realities, and other social realities within which we all have to live. But nobody is completely at home or in agreement with everything in the world around them. I'm sure in the organization that Mr. Holsinger represents, there would be people who would disagree on a wide variety of issues. That doesn't mean that they can't be part of that organization. That doesn't mean that that organization doesn't come into the public forum to try to bring their concerns and issues and values. Similarly, anybody should be able to come into the public forum. The idea is that once you get in the public forum, you have to abide by its rules, regulations, and guidelines to be a participant. And yet at the same time, make your arguments as best you can as to why you think a way of proceeding would be better for all.
And let me apologize for messing up your name, Father. I certainly don't want to offend a man of the cloth, especially like sitting right here. Dr. Elders, you served as Surgeon General, and like Dr. Holsinger, you are a United Methodist. Was there ever any conflict between your private religious beliefs and your public duties?
Yeah, I never felt that there was really a conflict as far as I could understand and see it. I do feel that, you know, we bring a certain value system, as Dr. Father Fitzpatrick said, to
Fitzgerald.
Fitzgerald, that's right. See, I had Gerald right. And then, but to any position, and we need to collect all of the very best scientific data that we can, listen to, you know, the best scientists, and try and help put together what you feel would be in the best interest of all of the people of the country. And I don't feel that I'm sure, you know, my faith may have influenced that, but I don't feel that it influenced my making what was the very best decision for everybody, because I feel to be a good, well, like a Christian or whatever you want to call it, that does involve making what you consider the very best decision for all.
What's the line, though? I'm thinking about an issue like abstinence, where, you know, I most major religious denominations right. believe that sexual activity should generally be restricted to marriage.
Right.
And but as a public health official, you didn't take that position. So where do you draw the line? Is it that you say, well, the church is in charge of should, and I'm in charge of what is?
Well, I think that's one way of putting it. But just because, you know, I think most of us, at least in America, feel that we would prefer our young people be abstinent until marriage. I mean, we may feel that way and think that way, but we know that that's not the reality. But we must give them the necessary information to make the good decisions. We want them to be sexually healthy all their lives. And if we do not provide them a comprehensive health education, giving them all of the information they need to make a good decision, they still may not make the decision that we would recommend, but at least we want them to make the decision in the, with knowledge that they understand what they're doing and they can make that good decision. If they need to, you know, if they choose to be sexually active, that they will also choose to use appropriate contraception or protection. You know, so often we teach young people, you know, that, you know, the only reason for sex is for procreation. I feel that sex involves what I call the three P's. Procreation, yes, but we've got to protect ourselves and our partner for the rest of our lives. And it's about pleasure. And 99.9% of sex is about pleasure.
And that's the, exactly the kind of candor that many people believe cost you your job. Do you think that in retrospect it would have been better for you to have been less vocal about that? Because that is in the realm of what is, but
I think our country for the most part.
But I think maybe some people would have preferred that you had spent a little bit more time in the area of should.
Well, we've been silent much too long. Ignorance is not bliss. It's caused, in America, we are in a, almost a crisis situation. We are in sexually dysfunctional. We're not sexually healthy. And this is based on the fact that we have, 40,000 HIV diagnoses each year. We have 19 million sexually transmitted diseases each year. We have, you know, 33% of the children born in America are unplanned, are mistimed. 13% are born to teenagers. And that says to me that, and this is not true for other countries, this is causing us to have some dysfunctional kinds of qualities. And then I think, you know, we are also bias on, you know, on sexuality issues, and we often act and not have all the facts.
Okay.
But that's because we've been silent too long.
We're talking about the controversy over the new nominee for Surgeon General. With us, our former Surgeon General, Dr. Joycelyn Elders, and Father Kevin Fitzgerald, a geneticist and professor at Georgetown University. Father Fitzgerald, I wanted to ask, has there ever been an avenue of research that you have declined to pursue for moral reasons? Because one of the tricky things about genetic research is that the end result for some is that people use that information to abort a pregnancy. And that obviously raises sort of a moral quandary, and you would not be involved in that part of the decision-making. But is there ever any area of inquiry which you have not pursued because it raises moral objections? Or are there techniques which you don't employ because they raise moral objections?
Certainly. Across the board, constantly in one's career, whatever it might be, as a scientist or whatever, you have to make choices as to what you are going to do and not do. And we all exist within an arena of limited resources, including our own time and energy. So every day we make choices as to what we think is more important or less important. And it doesn't have to be something as extreme as saying, I will not go there because I believe that this violates human dignity. One can also choose in a positive way to say, I will do this because I think, in fact, by pursuing this particular line of research or doing this particular type of research, it will, in fact, get me more toward the goals and ends to which I wish to work. And in that sense, it's not always, and perhaps not even most importantly, to say what one doesn't do. It's more important to say why is one doing what one is doing.
Well, what about this controversy, though, to the degree that you feel comfortable commenting on it, where you have a man who has expressed certain views that other groups, that groups find offensive, demeaning to their very personhood. And even though these views have not been expressed within the context of his public work, they feel it expresses particular concern. We can envision other scenarios where perhaps someone belonged to a religious denomination that had a view of gender roles that say that perhaps women can't be in positions of leadership or that they can't preach and so forth. But that's part of their private life. How would you sort out a question like that?
Well, I think that we're still very much as a society doing that sort of thing. And obviously, we've had a history of this. I believe at one point in our country, there would probably not have been much of a chance of either you or I being president of the United States because of who we were or what our belief systems are. So, again, it's an evolving process. And I do not want anyone excluded from the public forum. But at the same time, when one comes into the public forum, I believe it's quite legitimate to raise questions. On the other hand, it's much less legitimate, or illegitimate, to judge and condemn somebody before you've been able to fully hear what that person's position is. Like my understanding is in what has been reported, and of course that's not always a good way to go, but in any case, what has been reported is that this nominee has a friend, maybe also a patient, who is a lesbian, who says he has been wonderful to her, and in no way has she felt judged by him. So where the truth lies, and that's why we have this process. That's the whole idea. And to say that because somebody took a particular position in a particular context, and then to sort of paint that with a broad brushstroke and say, see, that's some kind of religious bias or prejudice which is not going to allow a person to fulfill what would be even the more fundamental values, which would be to care for other people, I think is just misguided.
All right. Thank you so much. Father Kevin Fitzgerald is a geneticist at Georgetown University. He joined us in our Washington studio. We were also joined by former U.S. Surgeon General Joycelyn Elders. She spoke with us by phone from her home in Little Rock, Arkansas. Thank you both so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much.
A pleasure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.